ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So I would like to welcome all of you to this Sunday festival organized by the Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir of ISKCON. Today we shall be discussing from the first canto, 18th chapter, text 45. Sorry, 47, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Text 47. The text is as follows. Apapeshu svabhruteshu bale na pakva buddhina papam kritam tad bhagavan sarvatma kshantum arhati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: then the Rishi prayed to the all-pervading personality of Godhead to pardon his immature boy who had no intelligence and who committed the great sin of cursing a person who was completely free from all sins, who was subordinate and who deserved to be protected. This is such an important purport, so we will go through the purport line by line as we continue our discussion. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. So this is a verse from the first canto. The chapter is entitled Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmana Boy. And the background of the story is as follows. Those were the days when the world was ruled by a very qualified king. In fact, the Bhagavatam mentions that the only way to rule properly is when trained kshatriyas are given the task of ruling. Now, I would like to confess that the first time I read this, that what this world needs is good kings. And we don't have that kind of understanding of kings being good. All over the world, people don't like monarchy. And obviously the reason is that if you keep all powers in one person, there is a good chance that that person may abuse his powers. In fact, there is an English saying coined by one author that power corrupts. There is no third way out. Or there is no second way out. You have power, and that power will corrupt you. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. If there is no one checking what you are doing, it's very bad for the world. So this is a reaction. This is a reaction to the behavior of so many individuals who have misused the power they have been given. But Srila Prabhupada, very tenaciously, doggedly, as they say, keeps on repeating the same thing in so many pages of Bhagavatam, that ruling should be done by those who should be trained, who have that mentality. So, Parikshit, once upon a time, decided to go hunting, which also was allowed to the Kshatriyas. Kshat is harm or deterioration or degradation, kshati. Kshatrayate, one whose duty is to prevent this degradation, he is a kshatriya. In fact, the Hindi word khatra, it comes from that. Prabhupada explains in a lecture. Why you say 440 volts, khatra, caution, beware. So similarly, there should be a trained class of people who can protect society from all kinds of degradation. Not just somebody is trying to steal your property and you appeal to the police and the police protect you. That is one kind of protection. What about your consciousness? If that goes down, who's going to protect you? So it's a heavy responsibility. But it's a very interesting stage when Parikshit goes for hunting. He gets lost. Hunting means not usually the king would be alone. He would be having his servants, soldiers. And he finds himself in a forest. There is a hermitage. And suddenly he is thirsty. Now obviously if you are going for a long journey or on horseback, you could be thirsty, hungry. So he goes inside and asks, can anyone give me service with some water? He's the king, but he has to introduce himself because in the forest nobody knows who's the king. Anybody could be king. They are not taxed. The forest people don't buy anything. The sadhus, the rishis, they are not consumers. They don't courier anything. They don't buy anything. So they are least bothered who's the king. And the king is least bothered as to who's doing what kind of meditation. As long as you do your job, I do my job, I come to you for blessing, you bless me, you check whether I am doing the proper things or not, fine. Today we can't imagine that kind of society. Prabhupada explains that a farmer is tilling his field with his bullocks and he sees one party of people on horsemen running fast. After half an hour or so, another party follows them and says, where did they go? And so they went this way, like that. Now in today's times, if one nation has some problem, that could have a big effect on your job in Bombay. If some tribal people in Indonesia decide not to put the paper in the timbers or whatever they produce in the ships, that economy could go bust and your company which has some stake could go bust. Your banks, they could not make the payments. You may lose your job. Imagine something happening so far away. So rather than networking the world in such a way that we become more strong, we have become more vulnerable for these kind of things to happen. And of course, that's why this is called Kali Yuga. So, the king asked for water, didn't get any water, went inside, and he sees one person wrapped in meditation, eyes closed. And he says, maybe this person has to do something with the affairs here. So he says, can I get some water to drink, please? No reply. Now the king does something which he never would have done. He's a very mellow, sadhu type person. He takes a snake, a dead snake, and wraps it around the neck of the sadhu who is sitting there. For no reason. He feels insulted. I came here for asking something as simple as water and nobody gave me even water. Now, this is not earth-shattering news, right? It won't come in the headlines if there were newspapers at that time. That world's monarch puts a dead snake on the neck of a sadhu. But really, something like that itself happened. The sadhu was a householder. He had a son, a young boy. He was taking a bath, ritualistic bath, three times a day. His name was Shringi, literally meaning with a horn. Shringa is a horn. The father's name was Shamika Rishi. So Shamika Rishi's hermitage members, they went and told this boy that one king came and he asked for some water. Your father did not respond, and this is how he has insulted. He has put a dead snake in the neck of your father. This boy was a, in Prabhupada's words, upstart. He was a, he was having some urge to do something to show his brahminical powers. So what did he do? He just took some water in his kamandalu, put in his hand, and said, whoever has done this to my father will drop dead in the next 7 days. And others must have praised him. Oh, you're good. And the king, of course, is not knowing. King Parikshit went out, tried to find his friends, must have located them. They came back. Shamika Rishi understood that my son has cursed like that. So he made inquiries as to who it was. Then he came to know it was the world's reigning monarch. We want to make India number one, right? That's what the politicians say. India shining and whatever. It is not that we want to make India one. India already was number one. You know, for how many years? Full Satya Yuga. Full Treta Yuga. Full Dwapar Yuga. Kali Yuga is 4,32,000 years. Dwapar was 864. And Treta was 1,296,000 years. 1,296,000. And Satya was 1,728,000 years. 17,28,000 years. Now just imagine, 17 lakhs, 12 lakhs, 8 lakhs, 17, 12, 29 plus 8, 37 lakh years is India's number one position. Nobody challenges that. And in this Kali Yuga, somehow we slipped down on some parameters which we never had in our books. The Bhagavatam doesn't mention that somebody is rich if he has more CT scans or more MRIs done. It's true. Today's economy, the Enron scandal, Enron was a company which went bankrupt, 27,000 people lost their jobs. This bankruptcy created a $1 billion surge in the economy. The economy grew by $1 billion because of this bankruptcy. Because so many lawsuits were filed, paperwork, Xerox copies, faxes, phone calls, emails. For those of you who might have some understanding of economics, this is how they judge whether something is prosperous or not. Completely anachronistic, completely foolish. So we are talking of an age when somebody responsible, somebody knowing his responsibility was ruling. And when the king came to know, I am cursed, I should not be living more than 7 days. He got very serious. The father got very serious. And the father tells the son, fool, why did you curse him? Srila Prabhupada explains, this is from verse 45 onwards, that the father heard from his son that the king had been cursed, although he should never have been condemned, for he was the best among all human beings. The rishi did not congratulate his son, but on the contrary began to repent, saying, alas, what a great sinful act was performed by my son. He has awarded heavy punishment for an insignificant offense. And then the rishi gives the reasons. Oh my boy, your intelligence is immature, and therefore you have no knowledge that the king, who is the best among human beings, is as good as the personality of Godhead. He is never to be placed on an equal footing with common men. The citizens of the state live in prosperity, being protected by his unsurpassable prowess. My dear boy, the Lord who carries the wheel of a chariot is represented by the monarchical regime. And when this regime is abolished, regime means the rule. The Lord is represented by these qualified kings. And when their rule is abolished, the whole world becomes filled with thieves, who then at once vanquish the unprotected subjects like scattered lambs. Vivaruthavat. Due to the termination of the monarchical regimes and the plundering of the people's wealth by rogues and thieves, there will be great social disruptions. And here we come to the focus of today's lecture. In a college class, someone asked me, how are we to respond to the bomb blasts in Bombay? And I knew this is a heavy question. How do I respond? How do I respond? I count my stars, thank Krishna. I was in one train which didn't get the blast. But I saw two who did. And one family, which is a part of our community, three members of the family, in three trains, all experiencing the blast, all surviving. Now, of course, we don't say that Hare Krishna is some kind of good luck, mumbo jumbo, you chant Hare Krishna and then Krishna saves you, whatever you are. Krishna does what is best. Krishna saved Prahlad Maharaj, Krishna saved Mirabai, saved so many devotees from danger. Srila Prabhupada was discussing with his disciples that there is one particular area in New York Harbor which in the evening was almost deserted. And he said, I would take a stroll, I would go for a walk here. And one disciple said, that was very dangerous. Because one mad fellow with a telescopic rifle would just shoot anyone for target practice. And Prabhupada said, what? Yes. Just imagine a telescopic rifle, you could shoot from 800 yards or 900 yards, practically more than half a kilometer. You don't see him. You don't even know where the bullet comes from. And that to a madman doing it for target practice. So Prabhupada said, we should always expect protection from Krishna. Krishna protects his surrendered devotees. So everything said and done, that even if we were to die, what else could we do except call out for Krishna? But I had to give him some shastric response. After all, we all come here, sit, spend our precious time, apply our intelligence, not just for some pious entertainment. We read again and again in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam that Srimad Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Now, where does it mention that July 7 bomb blast? This is particularly mentioned here. No, it's not like that. The Bhagavatam will not tell you how to shine your shoelaces or how to clean your windows. It will tell you what is the importance of cleanliness. So similarly, the Bhagavatam does give definite information. Information about something means why this thing happened and how I got caught up in it. Right? Just like somebody gets a disease, the doctors don't say that, tell me the names of the bacillus and I'll kill them. You don't even know. How can you? They're so small. So it's not the question that you want to know the perpetrators. Tell me whether it is this country to the north of us, this country to the south of us, or to the east of us, to the west of us. This is the danger game. So let us try to understand how Srimad Bhagavatam won't help us, or why it is necessary that Bhagavatam will not tell us this kind of information. Point number one, the kind of age we live in, there are multi-billion dollar economies which thrive on controversy. Jayadvait Maharaj gives a seminar And the essence of the seminar is how to get news without reading newspapers. And it's a fact. Believe me, you can get it. Authentic, complete information without the advertisements. And we know today's newspapers, they have very little to offer you. But they have so much to offer to their advertisers. Whom are they offering to their advertisers? Any guesses? You! Previously, they would say that you, the consumer, the reader, you are the enjoyer. And you are reading a newspaper, which is a product. So you are enjoying something which we produce. Now the thing has changed. Now the advertisers, they are the enjoyers, consumers. And you, the people who buy their newspaper, you are the product. You are the ones who are sold to them. And if you don't believe me, check out these advertisements that 37% of our readers, they are graduates. 23% of our readers, they are going to buy a TV set this year. So if you advertise in my paper, it could be your TV. What does it mean? He wants me to read the paper so that I can go and spend more money. Similarly is the case with this kind of news. They want to see that every day you want to read something. So somebody is caught, some terror suspects, there could be a possible lead, or the finger points in this direction, or maybe it was that direction, maybe we'll tell you tomorrow, so please be tuned. And tomorrow we are going to give a special report on that. In this way, they want to see that it gets continued. Controversy sells newspapers. So this is one thing which devotees need to be very careful. We get sucked up by this news. Now, of course, something happened in Bombay, right? Our ground itself is shaken and we keep on discussing it. But did you know that Israel has invaded Lebanon and 300 people died in the last 10 days? You say, okay, so Lebanon. So far away. Who knows even? Similarly, they must be caring the same thing about Bombay. Then we are concerned. Hey, someone feeling like that about us? Later we'll come to know why these things happen in this age. But that's for later. So first thing, check your priorities. Do not get sucked up in the game which is being played and we are the pawns. Secondly, we have to understand that however isolated we may try to think ourselves, we are not. And at least I was thinking that day, it could very well be me. It could very well be any of us. I had to walk quite a distance that day because the trains and buses were not functioning. And when I came back, one brahmachari just told me, Prabhuji, happy to see you. I said, alive? He said, yes. And I thought the same thing with me. Hey, I'm glad to be part of this family. So these things, these incidents, they make us, there is a devotee who sends out these mails, and the last line is always, at the end of the day, we should know that we only have each other. So everything said and done, your bosses, your competitors, your customers, your neighbors, your material relatives, they are all there, and very well they couldn't be there. But at the end of the day, it's only devotees which we have. So we have to work towards developing those relationships. Having said that, now we will come to the main idea of our purport here, where let us try to understand how Bhagavatam helps us in getting a clear idea as to what is the age which we have chosen to come. Yeah, we have chosen to come here. Prabhupada begins the purport by saying, everyone is responsible for his own action, either pious or sinful. Rishi Shamika could foresee that his son had committed a great sin by cursing Maharaj Parikshit, who deserved to be protected by the Brahmanas, for he was a pious ruler and completely free from all sins because of being a first-class devotee of the Lord. When an offense is done unto the devotee of the Lord, it is very difficult to overcome the reaction. The Brahmanas, being at the head of the social orders, are meant to give protection to their subordinates and not to curse them. There are occasions when a Brahmana may furiously curse a subordinate Kshatriya or Vaishya, etc. But in the case of Maharaj Parikshit, there were no grounds, as already explained. The foolish boy had done it out of sheer vanity. Vanity, be a show-off, upstart, in being a Brahmana's son. And thus he became liable to be punished by the law of God. The Lord never forgives a person who condemns his pure devotee. Therefore, by cursing a king, the foolish Sringi had committed not only a sin, but also the greatest offense. Therefore, the Rishi could foresee that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead could save his boy from his sinful act. He therefore directly prayed for pardon from the Supreme Lord, who alone can undo a thing which is impossible to change. The appeal was made in the name of a foolish boy who had developed no intelligence at all. First, he calls him Apakwa. Kacha, not Pakka, Apakwa. But now Prabhupada straight away says he's foolish. No intelligence at all. Further going back, a little in history, is that auspicious day, also very fateful day, not fateful in the negative sense, when Vyasa Muni got up very early in the morning before sunrise, sat on the banks of the Saraswati, closed his eyes, and went into a trance. That was the day when a very, very significant thing was revealed to him. It was revealed to him that every millennium has three joints. Sandhya. Sandhi means a joint. The third joint is about to come to an end. And what happens when the third joint of the Dwapar Yuga comes to an end? It is the beginning of the age of Kali. Kali is Durga Devi, Chandi Durga, but Kali. Kali is a male figure. He signifies irreligion. It's a he, and he is a person. He signifies quarrel, hypocrisy, anger, so many things. So Vyas was just trying to see what exactly is the picture brought in front of me. He just saw horror upon horror upon horror piled on each other. He first of all saw that material things, dhatu, elements, slowly coming down in their efficiency. For example, if an old Vedic text says, for your fever, for your asthma, for your stomach ache, take 2 parts of pepper and 1 part of sugar and mix it and drink it, you may not find the cure. What happened? Is the book wrong? Well, the book is not wrong, but matter itself has been degraded. You don't get the proper things. First of all, proper things don't grow. And people have become so irreligious that even for religious purposes, they don't want to show honesty. Like for example, I'm not saying 1920 and 1950 were the glorious days, but a little bit of a touch of honesty would be not be expecting too much. If you go to a shop and say, ghee chahiye, I want ghee, and it's for puja, so chances are that the fellow would tell his son, hey, wait, I'll get it from the other compartment, you know, that is only meant for puja. Bhagwan ko ja raha hai, at least I should not be selling adulterated ghee, knowingly that it is going for Bhagwan puja, otherwise paap lagega. So, Vaishyas would be a little bit having that touch of honesty. Now if you go and say Bhagwan ke liye chahiye, so you specially give adulterated, because as such nobody is going to use it. In one place where you used to distribute books, I used to catch these Maharashtrian villagers. I would say, give me change, 2 rupees change. That time Prabhupada's books also would be 8 rupees, 14 rupees. So every time they would search for something, I said, don't give me those coins which you have brought to put in the hundi there. One man said, why? I know, these must be all unusable coins. That's why you brought in to be put in front of the hundi. So, normally you would keep something which any banker, any person would not take. Bhagwan to bhav ka bhoka hai. The Lord doesn't see the thing. The Lord only wants to see your devotion. So knowingly you want to give him rotten things, degraded things. But that's how irreligious things people have become. Food. Vyasadeva sees food becoming low in quality, low in quantity. Chronic malnutrition, generation after generation, raised on this kind of bad quality food. When there is shortage of food, what is the easiest excuse people take? Slaughter animals. Large scale animal slaughter. In fact, funnily, in some of the best engineering and medical colleges, you find students giving excuse like, if you stop eating meat, there will be goats and sheep, hens and chickens on all the streets of India, you know. There will be no space even for cars to move. Well, they won't be like that. And if at all it would happen, it would happen because of the factory type farming which is being done. Factory type raising of animals. They are not raised in a natural surrounding. So it is completely idiotic to say that if we stop killing animals, then they would just increase in number so much. Material nature is very powerful. Then, widespread abuse, drug abuse. Of course, Vyasadeva didn't mention which drugs people would abuse, but the way in which people would abuse their health, promiscuity, broken families, unprincipled leaders, bhakshishyanti yatha praja, rajanya dasyu praya. The kings would be dacoits and they would just be exploiting the people whom they are supposed to rule. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was once mentioning that in some African countries, the president's personal wealth and the nation's external loans is same. Oh, what does it mean? I mean, this fellow has looted his country lock, stock, barrel completely. In fact, the extent he has looted is the extent what the country owes others. So now you have heard all these horror things. So you may say, what am I supposed to do? What is specifically my blame? Mera guna kya hai isme? I'm just a simple person trying to, you know, work in a call center office or a bank or whatever. I'm a simple housewife. I just want to just enjoy life, be merry, let others also be happy. No. You are as much responsible for these bomb blasts or for these famines or whatever, to the extent that when you complain, I couldn't come there on time because I was caught in a traffic jam. You never got caught in a traffic jam. You are part of the jam, isn't it? How can you say that every other car on the street is a jam except me? I'm just trying to go somewhere fast, and if you just let me go, you all can, you know, do dash here, no problem. To the extent every human being thinks like that, we deserve this and more is going to come, which is a fact. This last verse, due to the termination of the monarchical regimes and the plundering of people's wealth by rogues and thieves, there will be great social disruptions. What did it say in Sanskrit? Ananvayam. people will be killed. This is Bhagavatam, page 1048, for those who want to research. People will be killed and injured. This was spoken, compiled 5,000 and few odd years ago. Animals and women will be stolen. Now, animals generally means wealth. At that time, gavayo dhanavan, pashavo dhanavan, dhanyena dhanavan. Now it is credit cards and plastic money. At the same time, one day you could put your card in and find that there is no money there. Somebody has stolen it. They call it identity theft. Just imagine, somebody stole my identity. That means my numbers and everything. So that is what he said here. Your wealth could be stolen. And for all these sins, we shall be responsible. This father and son is, father is telling his son that we could be responsible for this. At that time, that means in our time now, Shamik Rishi is talking 5,000 years ago, but now we are reading it. At that time, people in general will fall systematically from the path of a progressive civilization in respect to the qualitative engagements of the castes and orders of the society and Vedic injunctions. That means nobody will follow Varnashram Dharma. Thus, they will be more attracted to economic development for sense gratification. True? And as a result, there will be an unwanted population on the levels of dogs and monkeys. Very strong language. This emperor is a pious king. He is highly celebrated. First class devotee of the personality of Godhead. He is a saint amongst royalty. He is not just calling him a good king because he pays him well, gives good dakshina. No, he is saying he is practically a saint. Rajarshi. He is a raja, but he is more like a rishi than a raja. And he has performed many horse sacrifices. When such a king is tired and fatigued, being stricken with hunger and thirst, he does not at all deserve to be cursed. The father is trying to knock some sense in the skull of his son. But of course, the son thinks that he has done a great deed. So, we have seen so far that this is the age we live in. At least those who are students of Bhagavat will understand that we chose to come here. And the major shift from the first three ages, major shift, I'm not saying that in Satya, Treta, Dwapar there are no sinful people. There are. But the major shift comes from self-realization to sense gratification. So much so that in Kali Yuga, even self-realization, so-called self-realization, has some element of sense gratification in it. Check how many times people have asked you, you go to Hare Krishna, kya milta hai? You have been asked like that? What do you get? Did you get so far anything? Any raise, any salary increase, anything you wanted you got? Then why go there? So this is our challenge as followers of Prabhupada, that let somebody prove that what they are doing is actually self-realization. In one brilliant essay, His Grace Rabindra Swarup Prabhu gives three essential points of self-realization. It is not obscure Sanskrit or something cryptic, very simple. All of us here can understand. Let us see what are these three points. We are talking of self-realization. One, the knowledge that I am directly an eternal spiritual being. I am not this body. I am eternal. I am spiritual. This material body is something which I am trying to figure out. But I am actually eternal. There are people who are members of some spiritual organizations, spiritual groups, chanting their prayers or going there, doing the rituals day in, day out for their whole life. And no one teaches them this first basic fact. So first is, I am directly an eternal spiritual being. Secondly, I am intimately related to the supreme spiritual being. Very important words, intimately. First of all, people say, supreme spiritual being? Who's that? If you ask the Shankaracharya followers, Mayavadi say, I am that. Aham Brahmasmi. That doesn't mean that the drop of seawater is equal to seawater, or a gram of gold can say, I am equal to a ton of gold. No. Like Tamal Krishna Goswami, he was in Fiji, and he was very provocative. He put a whole sort of a gallery of pictures of all the contemporary who's who of the spiritual world. Babas, gurus, rishis, munis, everybody. And he told the audience, any of you think any of these people, person is God, raise your hand. So someone said, yes, the second one from right, that's my choice. He's God. I follow him. So you say, why? You have to give a reason why. You can't just say, I like him. Look at how he looks. Oh, gorgeous. Not like that. He looks God. He's 100% God. Look at his beard. Look at his halo. Or look at this or look at that. So someone said, well, in some places, my Baba Guru, he went there and he touched somebody. And that person who was lame began to walk. So he said, good. That's allowed. Allowed as an entry, not as a winner. But this is allowed as a contender. So your spiritual teacher is God because he touched someone and that person who was lame began to walk. So if I can show you one orthopedic surgeon who has made 60 such people who could not walk, walk, is he 60 times more God than your God? No answer. One person said, no, the bottom left, he's God. Why? Once we were sitting and there was no light and he just got light from his own head and the room was filled with illumination. So he said, look, then 1,000-watt bulb is a better God than your God. Because you just, one switch, flick of a switch and it lights up the whole room. What about the sun? What about somebody who made the sun? What if you know that is someone who made the suns had made millions of such suns? Isn't he a bigger God? So, sometimes you wonder whether you have to highlight Krishna's supremacy or our idiocy. It's a hard choice whether Krishna is too great or we are too foolish. But of course, Prabhupada balances both in all his purports. So the root cause of all these problems is that we are living in a degraded age and we are prone to become degraded. And we are disturbed by the acts of other degraded people. So first is, I am directly an eternal spiritual being. I have an intimate relationship with the supreme spiritual being. And thirdly, I have no intrinsic, I have no ultimate relationship with the temporal material body. Now this one is a shocker, that a material body means the mind which comes with the body, or the color the mind takes with the body. And therefore, since these three things are not that easy to understand or easy to realize, most so-called spiritual organizations shove them away. They just keep these topics away. And they just do what Prabhupada says, that you have a boil, and instead of learning the subject thoroughly, like a doctor, and trying to find the medicine, the cure for the boil, you just puff over it again and again and again. So, not to condemn any particular political party or any particular leader, but if we see Maharaj Parikshit's reaction, a previous episode when Parikshit Maharaj was again trying to see how things are going, he found a rogue, a wicked man, beating mercilessly a cow. So Parikshit Maharaj didn't immediately start an inquiry commission, called for someone that, if you do it next time, I'm going to condemn it with stronger words. No such thing. He came down from his chariot, took out his sword, and said, rascal, face me. And immediately that fellow gave up his weapons, even gave up his clothes. He had put on royal robes. So Prabhupada said, that is a kshatriya. You don't get those kind of kshatriyas nowadays because they are simply not available. So don't ask that protection. It is not there. So you may say, with all this wisdom, you just want us to helplessly get blasted in this blast, or what do we do? First of all, we choose to become devotees of Krishna. Krishna says, if anyone surrenders to me, I take full charge. And full charge means full charge. Even if by somebody's karma, this body has to come to an end, Krishna says, I protect your consciousness. There is no insurance company which can protect our consciousness. There is no insurance company which can protect even our wealth. They would give our family so much, but we have to die for it. So we won't be able to enjoy. They will be enjoying at our cost, of course. So, in this last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada throws further light on the same subject. It went on like that I explained this to someone, that this age is degraded. He said, okay, who degraded it? So, well, because the Brahmanas became degraded. So that means it's their fault. So if the Brahmanas got degraded, what caused them? Well, ultimately, Krishna is the cause of all causes. So that means God willed that we should be living in this degraded age. It's very easy. People who don't have mature intelligence can easily blame God and say that, well, everything depends on Him. Whatever He wills happens. Whatever He wills surely happens. But we should know whether He is the direct cause or the ultimate cause. Like a magistrate who may release someone, who may put somebody in jail. So if you ask the person, let's say some acquaintance, not your acquaintance's acquaintance, finds himself in jail, and if you ask him, ye kaise ho gaya? Normally, relatives ask this question, how did this happen? And if he gives the answer, oh, magistrate ne jail mein dal diya. Is it true? Is it true that the magistrate put him in jail? Of course it is. Before the magistrate uttered the words, put him in jail. 3 years, rigorous imprisonment. Nobody could touch him. Even the police, he would give him 10-15 rupees, he would treat him with respect. And he sees that after this fellow spoke those words, everything has changed. I was in a nice little room with a little bit of fan and everything, and now see, I have been put here. So anyone who asks him, ye kya ho gaya? How did this happen? He says, the magistrate did this to me. Just see the intelligence behind this. It's not true. What he should say is, I stole somebody's money and didn't return it back. Or I tried to kill someone. That is the real reason why I am here for 3 years. And that is the reason why they are trying to cure that offensive mentality in me by putting me here and making me do all kinds of hard work. What if after 3 years this fellow comes out and he says, I'm going to get back at that magistrate? any benefit of staying in the jail? No benefit. Similarly, we come here, stay in this material body for 60, 70, 80, 90, how many years? At the end of the body, you say, I'm going to get that Krishna, whoever he is. He says, I am death. I take away everything. I'm going to ruin him. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. No lesson learned. So therefore, Krishna is the ultimate cause as much as the magistrate puts a prisoner in jail. But he has nothing to do with his crime. He didn't say, I advertised in the papers that you could commit such kind of crime. Similarly, Prabhupada once said, Krishna didn't invite you here in this material world. We came here. Now we may not have the understanding that I didn't choose this particular age or this particular thing. Once you commit that mistake, then you are in the grip of material nature. So those who got killed, if they were not surrendered souls to Krishna, they are equally in the grip of material nature as those who plotted, as those who are part of the conspiracy, as those who are thinking that they are going to gain something. As devotees, we should have nothing to do with this loss or benefit mentality in this material world. I know it's a difficult thing, but that is what the Bhagavatam prescribes. Coming to the answer as to why a small boy was chosen, it's a very interesting purport. A question may be raised herein that since it was the desire of the Lord that Parikshit Maharaj be put into that awkward position so that he might be delivered from material existence, then why was a Brahmana's son made responsible for this offensive act? So, actually the Shastras describe Parikshit is a Rajarshi, powerful enough to stop Kali. Kali came. He did the first thing by trying to harm a cow. And Maharaj Parikshit stopped him. And Kali is saying, but hey, this is my age. Pehle se kam samay hai. I only have very less time. Only 4,32,000 years. And that too, if you are Rajarshi, and he said, okay, I banish you. Get out of my kingdom. So he said, but the whole world is your kingdom. Where can I go? I can't go into outer space somewhere. He said, okay, you go to these four places where illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, intoxication go on. And Kali says, very nice. These things don't exist. So where do I go? Now can you imagine Kali personified telling Maharaj Parikshit that these four things don't exist? So Parikshit Maharaj, out of compassion, knowing fully well that this person's age is going to come, okay, go to some place where money, he says gold, is hoarded. Hoarding means illegal stock of money. Number two, number three, and now in India, we don't know how many numbers has gone down. But whatever that might be. So he said, that is some hope. There is some hope. So we can't imagine, this is how powerful Parikshit Maharaj was. Of course, Parikshit Maharaj also thought about some other things. These are real hope givers. I hope I have not demoralized you by this 45 minutes or so of discussion. Parikshit Maharaj knew that in the Satya Yuga, you have to think about a good deed and put that into practice. I think I should offer some flower to this particular deity. You have to take a flower, buy it, whatever, grow it and offer it, then you get the benefit. But if you think ill of someone, like all the curse words we use, you know, go to hell or I'll break your teeth or whatever. If you say that, if you think about it, you get a reaction. This was Satya Yuga. You think ill, you get reaction. You do something good, only then you get the reaction. And Parikshit Maharaj knew that in Kali Yuga, things are so bad that unless you do a bad deed, you'll be protected. And only if you think of a good deed, you get a positive reaction. So if someone says, I'll chant Hare Krishna from tomorrow, he gets a pious credit. It's as good as done. Of course, his pious credit may be lost among an ocean of other things, and he may not know, but the fact is that it goes to your credit. And so many counts of devotees, they say, I saw the Hare Krishna people chanting in my street, and I would say that these people irritate me, but then the music is good. Huh? And they got the benefit. One small county sheriff, a sheriff is some sort of a law enforcer in America, especially. And the case was brought in front of him that these people are in the airports, early morning, train station, early morning, wherever they are. And they all have, they raise a big sound, big ruckus. And he said, who? You know, the Hare Krishnas. He says, hey, it's fun, you know. Every time I see the same sights on the street, it's so boring. And when I see these people, it adds some color in our town. It's good. And Prabhupada told the devotees, did he say like that? Send him a congratulatory note that your spiritual life has started. It's a fact. Just by appreciating Lord Chaitanya's Harinam Sankirtan movement, by just saying they are good, whatever they might be, but they are good. In fact, even if you repeat, like some judges, you know, when they must have gone through some big lawsuits, and then this fellow is a Hare Krishna, and it's Hare Krishna temple, and Hare Krishna, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. By the time he reads his 31-page report, he's a devotee. So much about Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So the Bhagavatam says, Kalim Sabhajanti Arya, Gunagya Sarabhagina, Yatra Sankirtane Naiva, Sarvo Swarthobi Labhyate. Kalim Sabhajanti, there are people who, what kind of people? Arya, very, very progressive, purified, elevated people. Gunagya, those who know the proper quality of something. Sarabhagina, those who are like paramhamsas, from a mixture of milk and water, they are able to draw out milk. That kind of sarabhagina, taking the sar of everything. They worship Kali Yuga. Everybody condemns it, they worship it. Why? Yatra sankirtana ena eva. Just by doing Harinam Sankirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You can achieve the goal of your life. Whoever you are, whatever might be your karma, you might be happy in your material life, you might be frustrated. But if you are happy, this will be your last so-called temporary happiness. If you are frustrated, this will be your last so-called frustration. As Gaur Gopal Prabhu said today morning, that Prabhupada assured his followers, stick to this formula. One day he said, catch my dhoti very strongly. That means be attached to me. And at the most, three lifetimes. Three lifetimes is less than even three times we, you know, lower our eyelid. So that is the specific benevolence of this age. I'll again repeat, the horror story is there to remain. It's not that suddenly you open your newspaper tomorrow, you will find the whole parliament sitting in a rapt attention chanting Hare Krishna. That's not going to happen. Now, if it happens, it's well and good. We should strive for it. But this is not something pie in the sky. We have to work hard for it. So, we are trying to understand who did what. So the Brahmanas were degraded. That is because of the act of this small boy. So this small boy was used so that he could be excused. Proper expense here. The answer is that the offensive act was performed by a child only so that he could be excused very easily. Thus the prayer of the father was accepted. But then if the question is raised, why the Brahmana community as a whole was made responsible for allowing Kali into the world affairs? The answer is found in the Varaha Puran. That demons who acted inimically towards the personality of Godhead but were not killed by the Lord were allowed to take birth in the families of Brahmanas to take advantage of the age of Kali. So those who, for whom it applies, kindly note. The all-merciful Lord gave them a chance to have their births in the families of pious Brahmanas. So we see pious Brahmanas and we know who some of them are. So they got a chance. See, getting killed before the Lord is like someone standing before an X-ray with a raincoat or with a light suit. For the X-ray, doesn't matter. It goes right through. So similarly, whether you are highly sinful, less sinful, thoda beech mein, medium, whatever, in front of Krishna, it doesn't matter. He purifies you thoroughly. But then, to make you realize it, he gives you a chance. So those who were killed in front of the Lord, not those who were killed by the Lord, they all, of course, got higher benefit. But those who were killed by Arjuna, Prabhupada explains, they also got this chance. So the all-merciful Lord gave them a chance to have their births in the families of pious brahmanas so that they could progress towards salvation. But, it's a big but. But the demons, instead of utilizing the good opportunity, misused the brahminical culture due to being puffed up by vanity in becoming brahmanas. The typical example is the son of Shamika Rishi, and all the foolish sons of brahmanas are warned hereby not to become as foolish as Sringi and be always on guard against the demoniac qualities which they had in their previous births. The foolish boy was of course excused by the Lord, but others who may not have a father like Shamika Rishi will be put into great difficulty if they misuse the advantages obtained by birth in a brahmana family. So this is how intricately Krishna arranges things. That ultimately, Krishna never says that I did this because I had some selfish motive. No. Krishna has no selfish motive in uplifting someone in the material world or degrading someone. From his point of view, this world is Swapnavat. It's a dreamlike existence. Now, from his point of view, since it's a very, very temporary and unnatural existence, he wants to welcome all such souls back to reality. So whether we use the nice facilities offered by Satya Yuga, or whether we use the most degraded facilities offered by Kali Yuga, Krishna just wants us to come back. That's the only thing. If something nice happens in your life, thank the Lord and continue progress towards spiritual life. If something untoward happens and we all survive, most of us, but we don't know when the next thing happens, whether we might just miss the train or the BST bus or the taxi, or death comes by sleeping under a banana skin. So what constitutes horror? What constitutes earth-shattering news, headline news, is not decided by reality. It is decided by how you see the world. So essentially what followers of Srila Prabhupada have to do is to learn to see things through the Bhaktivedanta purports. And that is the real salvation, or that will really save us. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai. Shri Radha Gopinath ki.